Welcome to Coffee Table Mythos. I'm Eliza.
And I'm Leah.
Grab your favorite beverage and let's talk myths.
Don't you do it. Don't you do it. What are you drinking today?
I'm drinking the Franken coffee, which has Dolce de Leche Dunkin' and Folgers, classic Folgers, and Eve Dallas coffee and a bit more cinnamon than usual.
I see.
But I just want to make a note that one of our moms, because now we have, like, I feel like we have many moms now.
We have lots of moms.
We have lots of moms now. One of our moms got us these really cute mugs. The one I'm drinking says pumpkin spice everything because she knows I like pumpkin spice, and it's like a whole thing. Like, the first time, do you want to explain what happened the first time I was there for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, so.
Because that's a story.
So, Eliza's first Thanksgiving back on the East Coast, she spent with my family, and I had told the women in my family that she loved pumpkin pie. So my mom made homemade pumpkin pie.
Yes.
And I believe it was one for the dinner and then one to take home. So she had an entire pie, full-size pie, from my mom.
Let me preface this. The remainder of the family does not eat pumpkin pie.
No.
No one else eats pumpkin pie. So when I found out that there wouldn't be pumpkin pie for Thanksgiving, I was sad.
Yeah.
So this is what proceeded to have to take place.
So one pumpkin pie for dinner, one for take home. And then my sister and sister-in-law bought her hand pies that were pumpkin. And it wasn't just like one. It was like a bag, like, of these hand pies.
No, but like the way it was dispersed was what was hilarious. So like I'd walk by, there's one pie in my pocket. I'd walk by, there's another pie in my backpack. I walk by, there's another pie put in my hoodie sleeve. Like,
I didn't know about that.
It was
that.
Like a drug deal. And then like I looked at you later on that day and I was like, wow, you guys must really fucking love me. Because I know you guys hate pumpkin.
I do love you. So, she had so much pie. I don't even know. Did my middle sister get you some, too?
I'm pretty sure she did.
Okay, so you had so much pumpkin pie that you, like, can't for a little bit.
Yeah, by the end of that
year,
that Thanksgiving day, or week, I'd say by the end of that week, because I did, like, eat pumpkin pie when I got home, and I had it for, like,
For work.
I had it for everything. By the end of that time, I was like, okay, I think I'm pumpkin pied out for a while.
Yeah.
I don't think I've had pumpkin pie. Well, outside of, like, special occasions where, like, work or something, they're like, oh, this is what we have, I'll have a piece. But, like, outside of that, I have not really had pumpkin pie in a while. And it's okay. This is, if Mom, if you're listening, that does not mean I need pumpkin pie this year. I'm good.
Like, but she is still willing to drink pumpkin spice lattes and coffees.
Yes, that is fine. It's almost the end of that time, too.
Yeah.
Which makes me think that if we do leave the house today, we should at least go buy a Starbucks. So I can get my one last cold brew pumpkin before the Christmas comes. I'm already receiving text messages from family saying they're decorating from Christmas, and I'm like, but it's not even Halloween. It's not even mid-October. We're recording this, like, October, what is it, the 18th?
Something like that.
That weekend. Like, that's when we're recording this, and it's, like, mid-week last week I was getting notifications that it's fucking Christmas trees galore. But yeah, mine's in the shape of it's, like, all orange, and it has, like, this really cute little pumpkin on it with, like, little fall decorations on the bottom. I love it. Thank you so much, Mom. I appreciate it.
And mine says, hello, fall, and it's cream-colored, has a fox on it standing on pretty flowers. So, yay.
And you're drinking the same coffee as me, just with cream in it.
Yes. But what I like about it is they're bigger than normal size cups.
Yes.
Which we always need in our life because we go through so much coffee.
Yes. I could have sworn I had a cup that looked like this that had a slice of pumpkin pie on the front.
You do, but it's shorter and not as wide.
Yeah,
and we got it from Joann Fabrics.
That's what I was like, that sounds familiar. Why do I know this shape?
Yeah, it's a different shape. It's like tapered to the top.
Yeah.
And then the bottom's wider.
Yeah, it's very cute. We have so many mugs now.
I'm just trying to figure out how to put up shelves. And
we're actually thinking about taking one of the girdon rods and putting S-hooks on them just so we could, like, put dispersed coffee mugs.
Yeah, we have a curtain rod that doesn't have curtains on it because, like, the windows go out to, like, a closed area, so, like, they don't need curtains.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been up there forever. And I was like, you know what? Probably be easier than trying to drill into these walls because, like, these walls have been a jerk to me.
Or hand-making coffee mug cubbies, which we still might eventually have to do because I think that would be really cool. And I looked it up to see how expensive they are to buy off of, like, Etsy and stuff, and it's like, for the amount of mugs we have, it would cost a few $100s.
Yeah, no. I'm crafty. I'm like myself.
I was literally looking at it, I was like, we can make that. Yeah. We can do that ourselves. We'll be fine.
You know what else we could do? We could make, like, a cubby system that stands on the table but up against the wall,
mm-hmm,
and have holes for cups.
That would be so cool. So, guys, eventually, if we ever make any of these ideas, we will post about it so you can see our array of coffee mugs because it is quite an extensive collection and it's ever-growing, which we're never going to say no to coffee mugs. I just want to point that out there because coffee mugs can be used for everything. Ice cream, hot chocolate,
soup.
Tea, soup, chili. I eat chili, she does not.
Pen holders. Doesn't matter.
Pen holders, like everything. Painting, like we use these mugs.
Coins.
For multiple reasons. I think they're like shoe boxes, but they're
cute,
and I love them.
I can never learn how to do pottery. I do polymer clay sometimes. Like, I can't learn how to do pottery because that is all I would make. I would just make cups galore.
When I took ceramics, I made statues.
Nice.
Dr. Seuss's is what she called it.
Oh.
Which is like
really creative
shapes. Yeah, like they reminded her of something that would like come out of a Dr. Seuss book. Because I made these like wild creatures that some people were like, it looks like Tim Burton. And other people were like, it's like Dr. Seuss. And I'd be like, I don't know what the hell that is. I just made it. Like, what's the story? There is no story. I just made it. Nowadays, I'd actually give it a story, but... Anyways, bunny holes.
You guys should be used to that by now.
We do want this to be a informative podcast. However, we need to have some fun. I used to listen to podcasts like what we're doing because I've lived in places where I haven't been around a lot of family or friends, and it helped me feel like I was still part of some kind of conversation or something. Because in high school, at least, we were within walking distance of a cafe called the Pierview Cafe in Oceanside, California. If you guys ever have a chance to go by there, it's amazing. They make really good coffees. I'd walk from my high school all the way down to the Pierview Cafe, and every Friday we'd have coffee, except I never had money to buy coffee, usually. So it was more like I would sit there and watch my friends drinking coffee. but we'd talk. We'd have conversation, and that's what I really loved about it. We'd do that. Anyways.
That's what you're trying to go for with our podcast.
Kind of, yeah. Like, just, you know, sitting, chilling, having a nice conversation about these really cool myths and different customs and traditions and, like, kind of learning about the world a little bit more instead of just the normal. Does that make sense?
Well, this is our normal, so we'll say other people's normal.
We'll say that. That's a good way to put it. So today we have a treat for you. It is our grab bag week.
Grab bag week.
Yeah.
So this will be posted on Halloween of 2020, which is just going to be absolutely wild. We got some crazy blue moon lunar stuff going on.
And are you ready to share?
Am I going first?
Yeah, I thought you were going first.
I can. We've been down three separate bunny holes. I already forgot what we discussed before we started.
Yeah, we agreed that you were going to go first.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, she was doing a dance.
I was doing a dance with my coffee cup.
She was like, stirring the pot. You can't see this, but we're stirring the pot with our coffee mugs.
All right, guys. So this week's grab bag is in honor of Slavic Month on the Discord server Mythology Multiverse, which is one of the places that we post.
We're actually content creators for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I decided to research the Slavic creature called the Rasulka.
Oh, dang.
The Rasulka are always human females in appearance. Rasulka originally was the term used by Slavic pagans for fertility spirits. it's either a single Rusalka or the plural is Rusalki with an I on the end.
Oh, okay.
So these Rusalki would bring water to the fields and crops. They would leave the water in spring and they would dance in the moonlight, and it would make sure that your crops and your fields were fertile that year. They were descendants of, I'm just going to guess because I couldn't find anybody saying it online, Berigini, and that's Berigini. Berigini were water spirits that attended the Slavic goddess Berengenia, and Berengenia's name may mean protector or shore. Her first written reference, I absolutely love this, her first written reference was in a Greek lexicon that listed entities that Christians were forbidden to worship.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And the church didn't like the Berigini because they were, quote, dangerous, due to the fact that women persistently worshiped them. Hashtag life goals. So, in present day Ukrainian native faith, Berengenia has been raised to the status of a national hearth goddess, like hearth mother goddess, that protects the earth.
Mm.
And this water spirit version of the Rusalka was subverted in the 1800s when their story became that of malevolent, murderous women that seduced and drowned men. This type of Rusalki are said to come into being when women were either murdered or died by suicide in the water.
Oh, that's sad. Okay.
Yeah. When people hear the word Rusalka, this is the version they're thinking of. Most people don't know about the history where they were fertility spirits.
Okay.
The modern Sirenesque version generally involved women being betrayed by men.
Mm-hmm.
Other versions were women pregnant outside of wedlock that died, or even any woman that died a virgin.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wasn't expecting that one.
No. Whether that death was violent or natural. And then some say that babies that died before baptism would be reborn as Rusalkas too.
Mm.
Some believe that Rusalki only survive as long as they would have lived naturally had they not died prematurely. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. While others say that they can't move on until they are avenged. And this version of the Rusalki are generally described as slim, with big breasts. I'm so surprised. Pale skin, long hair that's either blonde, light brown, red, or green, and wearing a sheer robe without a belt. They're considered universally beautiful. This is because this version was considered that they would lure men into the water to drown them as revenge for what had happened to them. Kind of like, I was saying, a siren.
Mm.
But, like, we had this with somebody else, too. I think it was in Celtic.
Hmm.
If you see the things by the water and it's not yours, don't go near it.
Yeah.
If you do not know the women playing in the water, leave them alone.
That's almost every mythology.
I know.
It's like, if that's just a strange woman in the water and she looks beautiful, don't do it.
So in early June, Rusalki are considered more dangerous during what's called Rusalka Week.
Mm.
People are forbidden to swim because they will die. Not like maybe die, you will die.
Do you know what week that is?
Early June.
That's sad. That's like summertime. Ugh.
So Rusalki are believed to come ashore and play among the willows and the birch trees. And anyone who sees them dancing will be forced to dance with them until they die.
Oh.
And towns near the water held ritualistic burials to appease them during this time. But these were ended by the Soviet forces sometime in the 1930s.
Mm.
So in present time, you can find them in...
Dvorak?
Probably. Opera by the same name from 1901. Many poems by different people throughout the 20th century. They are in Magic the Gathering as cards.
Not even surprised, they're probably blue.
Was that the water cards?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are many references in video games. And for homework, I have homework for you. Ha 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 ha.
What?
Yes.
Oh, homework. You just threw this on me. What is it?
Okay, so you have to check out the song Rusalka by the Decemberists, since you are a music person.
Oh, I like the Decemberists. That'll be fine. I can do that.
And that is what I have for the Rasulka.
It's pretty cool. All right.
When I was researching, a lot of the surface stuff was all about what modern day people see them as like these vengeful spirits that drown men. And I'm just something was off about that for me. So I went digging deeper and I found out about their like origins as fertility spirits. And I was like, I knew it. So I wanted to go into that because I'm seeing that in a lot of the mythology, we have it and then gets warped, it gets reconstructed as something else. And we don't always find a reason, like usually it's Christianization. But this was later. This was like the 1800s that this happened. So I don't know what exactly caused this one. Yeah.
Odd. You know, when you're talking about the dancing to death thing, I don't know if anybody here has read the book Ash. It's like a Cinderella retelling, but it's like an LGBTQ version.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I read that book and I loved it, but there's a part in it where Ash goes by a dancing like group in the woods, and I'm pretty sure it was like hinted that if she joined the dance, you would dance until you die.
I think I've heard that with some other kind of folklore, but I cannot off the top of my head think of what it is.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, if anybody's, like, totally cool with LGBTQ material, Ash is a very good book. I think it's Melinda Lowe. Yeah, she also has the sequel to it, which is more of, like, a prequel called Huntress, which I have yet to finish. But, you know.
You got a pile of books you need to work on.
I'm working on all of them. There's so many that I'm, like, reading at once, which is, like, bad. I know. It's like I gotta choose which one to finish first. But I know if, like, I go into the Throne of Glass series, right?
Yes, I would like you to read that.
Yeah, I'm, like, pretty much almost done with the first book. I just need to finish. I want to just finish that series because I feel like I'm missing out so much. Anyway, so that was the Rasulka. Thank you so much for sharing, and we'll be right back after this commercial break. Before I start, Bones Coffee Company, if you're listening.
Oh my gosh.
Probably never going to sponsor us, but if you can, we will gladly review all of your coffee flavors. And we love your mugs. Like, this is what they look like. We don't have any of them, but they look beautiful. So, if you're ever listening, Bones Coffee Company, please hit us up.
Hashtag not an ad.
Not an ad. Not an ad. Okay, sorry. So, for this portion of the episode, I decided to do Krampus. Do you know what Krampus is?
See.
Okay, good. I did Krampus, but then while doing Krampus, I fell into the Frau Perchta mythology, and I was like, I need to cover that too, because that's the same region-esque sort of deal.
Okay. Well,
okay, so, Krampus. If y'all don't know who Krampus is, today he's known as, like, the evil version of Santa Claus. That's the best way for me to, like, explain it to people that don't have any idea. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so his roots are from pre-Germanic paganism, originating with Krampen, which means claw.
Yeah. Like a Nightmare Before Christmas where he's called Sandy Claus.
So I'm like, as I was doing this research, I was thinking, this is who they were looking for. They didn't find the right fucking one. Sorry. Anyways, some believe he is the son of the Norse god Hel, which I thought was interesting. Others believe he is related to the horned god found in Wicca. But to say which exactly is difficult because there are many horned gods worshipped predating to roughly 9,000 to 13,000 BCE.
Wow.
Yeah. The Catholic Church attempted to banish Krampus celebrations in the 12th century because of the resemblance to the devil. There were more eradication attempts in 1934 at the hands of Austria's Conservative Christian Social Party, but none of these attempts held.
It always makes me laugh because, I mean, in some places, very seriously, in some places, cultures were, like, completely wiped out because of Christianity, but every so often you get one where it was like, and they failed, like, and I'm like, yes!
And it didn't happen. Okay, so it came from an original pagan tradition in Austria's alpine towns to scare away winter ghosts, usually mountain spirits, that would come and wreak havoc. They were usually young men. I say usually because, you know, it doesn't say strictly men.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly young men would dress up and go through villages, yelling, ringing bells, and generally making a racket, often on the longest night of the year, also known as winter solstice.
Woo-woo.
in more recent history, he is known as the person that goes along with European Saint Nicholas as the scary counterpart. For example, there's also Belsnickel and Nix Ruprecht, which Krampus is not the same. I just want to say, like, not the same person being.
Wait, are all those people with Saint Nicholas?
It depends on the region.
I see.
You know what I'm saying?
That makes sense.
Yeah, so depending on the region determines, like, what was believed.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Krampus would give punishment while Saint Nicholas was visiting the children around December 5th or 6th, and while St. Nicholas was, you know, giving good things, Krampus was like, where are my naughty kids at? Anyways, this day in Alpine Austria and some parts of Germany is also known as Krampusnacht, also known as Krampus Night.
I was gonna say.
When adults would dress up as Krampus to frighten children. There's also something called the Krampuslauf, which is called also means the Krampus Run, which is not tied to a specific day, but is a way for grown men to blow off steam while scaring children.
Okay, I was like, oh, well, that's a really random thing.
They
while
would,
scaring off children.
Yeah, they would get drunk, and they dress up as a Krampus and run through the streets. Sounds like a fun time, actually. It's like, I'm reading this, and I was like, I kind of want to experience this for myself. But anyways, when postcards boomed in the 1890s in Germany and Austria, this led to Krampuskarten, which is basically a greeting card. It's like the Christmas card you don't want to have because it's not supposed to give you warm, fuzzy feelings inside.
Can we buy those? There's some people I want to send that to.
Let me explain more. They're often depicting the saying Gruß vom Krampus, which is greetings from Krampus, with images of stuffing children in a satchel for Krampus or preparing to hit a child with one of his bundle of birch sticks. Now goodness, it gets better. It gets better. There are also adult versions where Krampus would do an arrangement of things such as proposing to women in the early 1900s.
Oh, goodness. Not a proposal!
Yeah.
Oh, that's so upsetting.
As St. Nicholas would leave presents and shoes and boots for well-behaved children, Krampus left a rod in shoes of naughty children. Especially naughty children would be struck by the birch sticks, and the worst children would get stuffed in a bag and dragged to his lair, where they were presumably consumed. To this day, Krampus is still celebrated around the same time of year in those regions. The U.S. did not really start seeing Krampus until 2004, but the practice has grown throughout the region in Austria. Krampus is described as having a mangled, deranged face with bloodshot eyes, a furry black body, giant horns curling up from his head, and being half-goat, half-demon lineage, specifically.
Sounds like me on any given day.
I can't with you. So, while studying Krampus, I came across Frau Prechta, also known as the Christmas Witch.
I'm, like, a little bit excited because it's called the Christmas Witch, but by the way, you just took a breath and you're about to give me some real bad news, aren't
you? Actually, you know what? You might like this one.
Okay.
You might like this one. You might be grossed out at some points, but you might like it. Wink, wink, hint, hint. Okay, so, she's well known in Germany and Austria. She was also known as Prechta or Bertha, and some say at times she leads the Wild Hunt. It's stated that the Perchten that ride with her look very similar to Krampus. The Perchten arrive closer to Epiphany on the last three nights before Christmas, called Birkelnights or Knocking Nights. If you hear wind and thunder through the mountains on Birkelnights, it is said that you are actually hearing the Wild Hunt. There are two forms of Frau Prechta. There's the goddess form, where she is said to be a beautiful woman dressed in white, stemming possibly from the Germanic goddess Holda, which predated Norse deities, and the other as an old crone.
It happens.
Yeah. She was said to dwell at the bottom of a well, rode a wagon, and first taught the craft of making linen and flax. Another name for her is Holle, it's H-O-L-L-E,
mm-hmm.
who was the goddess to whom children who died as infants went.
All of this sounds good so far.
Many old descriptions stated she had one large foot, also known as a goose or swan foot. The elder of the Brothers Grimm believed this meant she was a higher being and capable of shape-shifting. She was the upholder of cultural taboos, for example, the prohibition against spinning on holidays. So basically she's like, stop that. It's Christmas time.
It's time to rest. Stop.
Time to rest. Stop it. Mm. My feast day. Stop it. In folklore, she would roam the countryside midwinter to enter homes during the 12 days of Christmas, especially on the 12th night. And she would know if the children and young servants worked hard all year and were well behaved. If you were well behaved, she would leave a small silver coin and it would be found the next day in a shoe or a pail. If not, she would slit open their bellies.
Pooh!
Sharp turn there. Remove their guts and stomach and replace them with straw and pebbles.
Wow.
Yes.
We're like, we were doing real great. And then, like, big U-turn.
Yeah.
That is not cute.
She paid particular attention to whether girls spun all of their allotted portion of flax or wool during the year. She would also slit open a person's stomach if you ate something other than the traditional fish and gruel on her feast day.
Would have been guilty of that.
Yeah. In today's world, she is said to wander the Hohensalzburg castle in the dead of night in Salzburg, Austria. And the Prechten still take part in the holidays and festivals, for example, Fastnacht. In the Pangu region of Austria, there are processions of beautiful Prechten and ugly Prechten every winter. It is said they are the beautiful and the ugly Prechten took part in the wild hunt. So it wasn't just ugly that were in the wild hunt, there were also beautiful ones.
Okay.
The beautiful masks used to portray the beautiful Prechten are to encourage financial windfalls, while the ugly masks drive out evil spirits. There are quite a lot more that happened, depending on the region with the Prechten, but they are literally, like, all over the place in the Germanic Austrian area.
Interesting.
And that is the story of Krampus and Christmas Witch. I actually looked into it. They have these very specific pastries they make around that time.
Mm-hmm.
When they do the Fastnacht, and they're like donuts, but they're made with the base of potatoes.
I'd be down.
I would I looked at it, and I was like, that looks like something both of us would eat. And apparently, you can buy them in Pennsylvania.
Oh, I'm not surprised at all with the German Dutch population. So when
the Swedish, Dutch, Pennsylvanians, they kept the traditions going of that. There's different variations I think they make. Like, they have some with a lot of, like, powdered sugar on the top, mm-hmm. and they have some with, like, regular granulated sugar on top. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh, that looks like definitely something to try.
Yeah, some look like donuts that don't have holes. Some look like the ones that do have holes. Some are, like, little square.
Some are glazed, some mm-hmm. are not. Like, actually, most seem to not be glazed, but they do make glazed ones. And I was like, dang, those look delicious.
So basically, it's a fried dough that has more of the base being potato.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes. They even use the potato water with the mashed potatoes to make it. Anyway, I hope you're all having a wonderful end of October, Halloween, Samhain. Please be safe this weekend. Our California family's been talking about how it's like super hot out there in the 100 degrees, while over here it's like, here it's 45, high at 60 something. Yeah. I'm like, yes! But at the same time, I'm like, it's colder outside.
She says that, but she loves warm weather gear. She loves her beanies. She loves her hoodies. We have too many hoodies. And
you never have too many hoodies.
We have too many hoodies. It's going to break the door. We have so many hoodies on one door.
Listen, what I need to do is I need to put the ones that I don't wear as often in a place.
Well, I actually had an idea about that I don't think I've told you yet.
Oh.
So, like, the ones that are, like, really old that you don't really wear mm-hmm. ever, we can cut into pieces to make a quilt, a hoodie quilt.
Oh my gosh.
Instead of doing like a t-shirt quilt.
We'll do a hoodie quilt. I would love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. Because there's hoodies that I love that get, like, you know, when you wash them and they get shorter.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, dang.
You're like, this hoodie is now a crop top. Which you would never wear.
No, I would never wear that. Or, like, that you wear the hoodie so much that it gets holes everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had an American Eagle one that was like that I actually got from a Goodwill. But I wore it so much that the holes got a little ridiculous.
I see. And you are not familiar with darning, so...
What's darning?
It's how you fix holes in knit fabrics.
See, that's how unfamiliar I am. I didn't even know what it was called.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's that?
Something that I know how to do, but I don't know if you still have that hoodie.
I'm pretty sure I don't. If I do, it's back in another place.
Hell.
Yeah, sure, we'll call it that.
And we wanted to say hi to our new listeners all around the globe. We've got people in Peru, Singapore, the Philippines, France, Vietnam, and Japan.
Hello!
Hi! Welcome, welcome!
If we haven't mentioned your country yet, that's because we're using this list that's like...
It's a little slow on the uptake.
Yeah, it's a little slow on the uptake. Like, either it's slow on the uptake or the way that they're...
Showing the percentages
is kind of weird. Yeah.
Because we have so many people in different places that, for example, all those ones I just listed, it shows as less than 1%. So I'm assuming that's one person.
Right. Which, I mean, like, we're still like, oh, well, thank you for listening.
It's just super cool watching this list grow.
It's actually, like, kind of crazy when we think about it. Because we're on episode 18, and we started in July.
Mm-hmm.
Podcast-wise, it feels like this has been a while. Because we've, like, put so many episodes out.
Right.
But, like, time-wise, it feels like it's been nothing.
And it's also interesting, because we do Japanese... week.
Yeah.
But we just recently got a Japanese listener.
Just recently.
Or a couple. We don't know. But we got people from like Northern Europe very early on.
Oh, yeah.
And we do cover like the North Scandinavian area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just really interesting how we're like being discovered a little bit at a time.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us for Coffee Table Mythos.
Yes.
Reminders, everybody, make sure to check out our art for this week's creatures on our Instagram at Coffee Table Mythos. If you want to share any art of your own of these creatures, make sure to use our hashtag Coffee Table Mythos so that we and our followers can check them out. As always, if you have any stories or requests, please email us at coffeetablemythos@gmail.com. And remember to mention if you want a shout out of either a name or handle and where to find you, or if you would like to remain anonymous. You can also find us on our Facebook page, Coffee Table Mythos, and you can message us on here as well.
Check out our merch on Teespring at teespring.com/store/coffee-table-mythos. We are adding more listings as we research more creatures and make more art. If you would like to donate to us, you can on anchor.fm/coffeetablemythos, or you can become a patron through patreon.com/coffeetablemythos. For right now, all donations will go to making this podcast better. Thank you so much for listening. Please give us a like, follow, subscribe, share, and review our podcast if you have the time. We are interested in what you have to say. This is Coffee Table Mythos. We'll catch you next time.